everybody. Welcome back to Spirit Road. Thank you so much for being with us. And today our guest is Beth Ward, an incredible being who lives in Florida, correct?
Nashville.
Nashville. I don't know why I keep thinking you live in Florida. Are you supposed to move?
I don't know. Tennessee right now, though.
Okay. Sorry. She's in Tennessee, in Nashville, and my wonderful co-host, Tim. And we were starting to talk about channeling and how that is starting to really pop up even more for people all the time. So, Tim, you were saying you're reading this book about opening to channeling.
Yeah, I think it's called Open Channel. I wish I had it in front of me right now so I could verify that. But
Open to Channeling, I think is what it's called.
Okay, yeah, it's just had been kind of this idea of wanting to be more intentional with, I mean, there's been all sorts of things that have come through the years, but it's always been very circumstantial. And even sometimes when it happens for me, I find that I have a lot of resistance to it too. Like, I would, you know, I'd recognize there was something there, and for whatever reason would just kind of have this wall up against fully hearing it or being with it or whatever. And lately I've been wanting to shift into this space of being more intentional, being more open, and finding that a lot of people in community right now are kind of in similar spaces. Yeah. I have at least a couple of friends who are reading this book, and there's something activating about it. Just even reading the pages and being with the ideas, is I'm finding that as I go to bed at night, I'm having all sorts of interesting experiences in that liminal space, I guess. But yeah, so that's where I'm at. But also, Beth, too, I know we talked about this a little bit before hitting record and things, but would love to, if you'd maybe be able to share a little bit about your background, because you've been on that journey for a while.
I've been professionally channeling for a couple of years, but I've been channeling quietly my whole life. And hadn't thought of it as channeling. And then I read the same book that you're reading. And then because I just sort of woke up one day and said, I want to channel. And it's obviously not an accident or you know, a coincidence. And so then after I read the book, I felt like I could channel, but it was important to me to channel very cleanly, meaning for me personally, I could tell that I would be doing this with other people. And it was important to me that my personality was off to the side and not in the mix. And I wanted whatever to come through as clean as possible. And so I was like sitting around one day thinking, how am I going to figure that out? And just up popped on my phone an advertisement for a channeling school, the Open Heart Channeling School, who happens to specialize in clean channeling.
Oh, wow.
And so that was perfect. And the teacher, Diana, she channels Archangel Michael. So you take channeling lessons from Archangel Michael. And in that, learned a lot about energy. And to be a clean channel is sort of like therapy on fast forward, because when you're channeling, it pulls at your fears, right? You mentioned them a minute ago, Tim, some of them, you know, can I do it? Am I making this up? Can I trust what I hear? Why is this happening to me? What if I can't do it when I want to? But what if I get it wrong and hurt somebody? You know, the list is endless. And so lo and behold, the big joke on me was that to have clean channeling requires self-love and self-trust. And so becoming a clean channel is a process of deepening your self-love and self-trust. And so that's why I kind of joke, it's like fast therapy, because you have to work through all the stuff that's coming up.
How does one do that?
It's a baby step. So yeah. I, in the first class, realized, okay, what I have been doing my whole life is channeling. I just didn't use those words. And I immediately realized that I always have an open line with my higher self and my guides, that my internal talk is we, not I. And so that helped me sort of reflect back to me, okay, this is what I've been doing. And so then through a bunch of discernment exercises in the channeling school, you start to learn how to read the different textures of the vibrations and feel when you slide in to the way and get yourself back out of the way and being really alert to that and what that feels like and what a clean message feels like versus one that's got personality in it or fears, belief systems, all that. And so in those discernment exercises, that's when your fear comes up. And usually a fear comes up in every exercise. And through discerning, you have to process through that. You know, why do I have this fear? Why is it triggered right now? What is this? Is it attached to anything that I need to be aware of? Or is it a matter of just acknowledging it? And you begin to release some belief systems that are limiting, sort of contracting your energy or your ability. And as you begin to release those, you start to expand, and your ability to channel grows in, I think, complexity. And so I would say, how does one do that? Through some support. My support was Archangel Michael and the teacher Diana. But these are things you could do on your own, just practicing. I think it's obvious. Yeah, I mean, you're very aware. Most people channel consciously now. I think trance channeling was more of a thing of the past. Not that there aren't some out there, but you don't hear about it too much anymore.
Right.
And trance channeling is when someone kind of steps aside, like they don't even have a memory of what they've said when they come back.
You always have to step aside, but I would describe it as when you're in like a true trance state, you aren't there. Your consciousness has left your body and the higher dimensional consciousness has come in. It hasn't possessed you, but it's flowing through you while you're kind of somewhere else. And you have no idea what happened. A lot of conscious channels, you're also stepping aside, but you're aware of what's happening. And then depending on how deep you go is kind of what you remember. This is different. Channeling is different for every human being. I've definitely learned that. And so for me, I go very deep, like a trance channel, but I'm conscious the whole time, which is sort of a newer thing.
So when you're doing that, are you able then to also have a conversation with the person you're reading with and the beings who are coming through?
Yes. Okay. You move yourself to the side, your consciousness to the side, and let it flow through you. And then there's an aspect of you that, even though your mouth is going kind of on autopilot, the other part of you can ask questions or notice if you aren't fully to the side. You know, if you start to slide in there, you can get back. So you're more aware of different aspects of self is how I would put that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's my experience. I just wondered. I also noticed that when I channel spirit, I can remember kind of right after I've done a session with someone, but then 5-10 minutes later, most of it's gone. But when I channel interstellar beings, they those messages a lot of times come through in such a way that I don't even know what they're saying. It's like I can hear somebody talking, but I can't quite grasp what they're saying. And then they step aside and it's like I'm back then. And that's new for me. I've not channeled that way before. So I'm still getting used to that being, in a sense, kind of pushed completely out of the way. Do you find that when you channel different beings, different types of beings?
No, for me, I have essentially the same process for all the different types. But what changes for me is sort of how it enters my body and what the vibration feels like. And it's like recognizing someone's face, but it's at a vibrational level. So I know who's coming through based on those qualities. And I too can remember details. I'm hearing it in the moment. I can remember details for about 5 or 10 minutes. And then I can't remember anything but big themes after that. Like I might remember the person talked about their health, or they asked some questions about moving, but that's it. I have no idea what the group said to them.
Exactly. Yeah. And Tim, you channel all the time. I think you just don't call it that.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a time you could say that to me and I'd be like, I don't think so. But I think that that does make sense. There are points when it's almost, especially with art and music or conversations about connecting, even in the authentic relating realm, things, there will be times when it's almost just like a flow state. And it's not like I'm consciously stepping aside to let something through, but there will be things that I'll be saying. And as I'm hearing them come out of my mouth, I'm like, I don't think this is something that I know. It's new information, and it's just interesting to kind of hear it. And it's perplexing. And I will say, so recently, and I can't remember if I shared this with you both when we chatted last, but I had an experience recently where I have been setting this intention at night, just kind of putting it into my subconscious that I want to be more open to these things, that I don't want to have resistance to them when they come through, that I do feel safe in my space. And, you know, and I think that was part of it for me, was this fear of losing control in some way or another. But in this kind of liminal space, as I was going to sleep, I heard my higher self voice, which is not new to me. That feels fairly integrated, you know, these little wisdoms and ideas and reflections that will come through. And it has a familiar quality to it. And then in the midst of that, I had a voice come in that was completely foreign to me. And I think I've shared this before, but this idea, like when I'm imagining things, I can feel the mechanisms in my brain that are the gears that are turning, that are creating this imagining. So I can say, even if it feels inspired in some way or another, I know that in some way I am the source of that. And then occasionally with things like this voice, it's completely outside of myself. It's not predictable in any way whatsoever, because it's like I'm not creating it. So this voice came in and had it was almost like it was slowed down. It was almost guttural. It was low. It was like if somebody had taken a record player and kind of like slowed the turning. And I'm almost wondering if maybe that's a vibrational thing of them kind of coming down to a vibration that I could perceive it at. This conversation that ensued in my head was, it feels so strange to even say this, but you know, yeah, it felt like it was interstellar. And that's the first time I've ever experienced anything like that. And it was this conversation about me asking, like, what do you get out of this? What does this, you know, I know what it feels like for me to connect to something greater, you know, and this expansiveness, but like, what is it for something greater to connect to me? And this conversation that ensued was very much about, maybe, and this comes back to what we started with, this idea that there is a lot of an evolution in our consciousness right now, where we are kind of starting to join this greater community in some way or another, and that there is this desire to help bring us into that space, or to connect with us in that way, or to help us consciously evolve or expand or whatever it is. And then at some point, and I was showing this beautiful image of like looking down on Earth, like if you see a lightning storm from space, you know, the clouds, and then you see just areas that are lit up. And it was like, this is what consciousness looks like when it's reaching out to us. And it was just this beautiful tapestry of light. And then it was like somebody turned the dial and it was the Charlie Brown teacher, and I couldn't understand the thing that was being said anymore. And then I was done. Yeah. So, but I mean, does that, you know, Beth and Lori, I mean, does that kind of what you're getting these days is, I mean, are there messages that are coming through about where we're at and why more people are connecting to these kinds of experiences?
Yeah. What do you understand is happening, Beth?
A couple of things. It's been shared with me that we're, as we go through what we call ascension, or as we expand our consciousness, and let go of the aspects of ourselves that we've outgrown and raise in vibration. So ascension as a nickname, mm-hmm. That we are moving from kind of as a whole, like as a species, moving from paying attention to external validation, all this stuff out here, to a more inward process, what's going on inside, and internal discernment. And so as we move from external validation to internal discernment, we are curious and we bring to ourselves lots of opportunities to practice discerning and playing around with that. And so one of the first ways I've noticed people are starting to come online in that way is they're saying things like, well, I guess I used to listen to all these channelers, but why don't I just do that myself? Or, I think I might have just channeled yesterday, and so on. So a lot of people are sort of waking up to that ability, and which is important. And not that we won't still use things externally as well, because those are also reflections to us of who we are. But we're becoming more empowered to trust and discern. And also that's a part of growth, is, again, going back to applying a new level of self-love and self-trust about what you are getting, and learning to have confidence in that. So I think that's happening. And there are many beings and entities who are here to help us through this process, and they are speaking to us. So we're getting a lot of knocks at the door on top of what we're just connecting with our higher selves about. And it's also been shared with me that we're always channeling. We're, you know, to be in your incarnation, you're channeling an aspect of your soul into this highly focused point of view. And when you have intuition, that's, or creativity, you're channeling your higher self. When you're having fear and really a limiting experience, you're channeling your sort of egoic mental construct that's sort of your barking guard dog trying to keep you safe. And when you get messages like you did, Tim, you're channeling other friends, aspects of who you are from higher dimensions, or guides, angels, what have you, your support team. So it's just a matter of what you're channeling, but you are doing it. You know, you're, when you have the bright idea, that's, you know, that came from higher self.
Yeah. That's what I've been telling people for a long time, is that we all channel. We just don't always call it that. We call it other things. We call it intuition. Well, to me, that's channeling. That's receiving information from something that isn't my own mind and ego, that helps move me forward, or has me make the correct turn instead of turning around 5 miles later and going back because I ignored my intuition. So, and you do that all the time. So it's just a matter of, like, you know, stepping into it like you did the other night and really allowing it to be there and paying attention.
Yeah, even as I'm hearing all of this too, I'm thinking of, I'm kind of coming to the realization of how often I think of my higher self as being something separate. But I really do like that aspect, or that we are aspects of higher self. Gosh, I've been reading about polyvagal theory and our, you know, our nervous systems and our responses and how we experience the world and how we take it in. And in some ways it's unbelievable how complex we are as machines, humans, you know, whatever, our physical cells moving through the world, that it's just like, to me, it's almost this expanse of like, this is incredible, that it does make us feel more like we're vehicles in this space, you know, that there is something greater that drives us, you know, that consciousness or that higher self. Yeah.
It's interesting because for a while now, and it's increasing with the readings that I do, more and more I feel like spirit or whoever's stepping in to talk with the person is really, they would say that they don't like push us, but you know, they gently nudge is how they put it. I'm like, no, you kick us in the behind, but they're really pushing people to open up to the gifts that they've brought in because we need those now. Humanity needs those. We need that energy on the planet right now. So if you're a being that's come in and you're able to do healing or you're able to do channeling or you're able, whatever gift you brought in, it's like they're all being just pushed and pushed to really step into it now, stop denying it. And because it's not that it's difficult. There is no time, but a lot of times they'll use that and say, you know, time is growing short. You need to be doing what you need to be doing. And so it just feels like there's an intensity that's happening. I don't know. Are you feeling that, Beth, at all? That it just feels like something is winding up and that we're moving towards something and everybody is being really encouraged to open up and be ready and to step into who they truly are, for lack of a better phrase.
Yeah, I think the way it goes in myself is, and sort of the guidance that's been shared with me is that our experience of time, even though there isn't time, you know, we're playing this game of this incarnation on planet Earth with linear time. And so time is really speeding up for us. And part of that is because as we move up in vibration, that's what happens. But the sort of the bigger thing that's happening is that we're becoming more aware of the larger aspects of who we are. Mm-hmm. And as we become more aware of that, our gifts open, our clairs open, we understand more about the broader aspects of who we are, such as maybe we become aware of our higher self, maybe we become more aware of guides or just or lifetimes that we've had, what have you. Or, you know, we think about, I don't know, ET's landing. It comes in many forms. And so it's, for me, it's not necessarily that, and I'm not disagreeing with you at all, Lori. I agree with you. And I think I have gotten hung up on like, what's my mission? What am I supposed to be doing here? And I've been told about a bazillion times by my guides, there aren't missions. As you, your job is to just be, and mission accomplished. You brought light into the planet, done. Now you can do whatever you want. like existing was the goal. Good job.
Yeah.
And, that's easy.
Yeah. And as you exist, what's fun? Because the more you are in inhabiting a space of joy and contentment, the more you shine, the more light you bring into the planet. So how do you have fun? How do you have joy? And through that, that's how you expand. That's how you learn and grow even more, is through that exploration in a joy state. And so a lot of people say to me, I feel stressed. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And my guides always say, you aren't supposed to do anything. You're supposed to let go and be in the flow. But that's hard. And I feel like we're stepping into this new space where we have one foot in kind of 3D world, where we have all these belief systems about, I must be productive. I must have a job, I must make money, I must contribute, I must have relevancy, whatever that, you know, all of those things and more. And then this other foot kind of in 5D, which is, I just want to be, and I want to be in a state of joy, and I want to be in a state of stillness, and I don't have any more energy for those other things, and kind of straddling the two places as we kind of transition or walk over the bridge, and it can be quite confusing. And so my guides just point me and others I channel for back to just to be in the present moment. It's not about doing, it's about being. And that's where, in that present moment, you're going to get your answers, because the present moment is where the safety is. It's where infinity is. It's where all the creativity starts from. So start there.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
I have this, and I'm sure I've told this story in Spirit Road in some way before, but I had this experience on the west coast of Oregon. It was a Satori death of self kind of experience where very visually I was watching the waves roll in on, like, from a bluff, cliff bluff, and I was seeing these different parts of myself wash up on shore. And as I remember it, it's very literal, you know. It was not an imagination. It's like I felt like I saw them in my memory, of course. But yeah, as the waves pulled back, those parts would disappear, and I felt them leaving me, and there just the space opened up, and eventually enough of those parts had fallen away that I didn't, I was clutching my chest because it felt like I was pouring out into the universe. And at some point I lost my sense of self and just completely disassociated from anything in my body. And I was in the stars and the mountains and the ocean and everything across the way. And if there is maybe the closest thing I've ever experienced to a life review at that point, where I could see all of these pieces of my life, like laid out like a map before me. I could see all of the branches and the things that had happened and the joys and the losses and the sorrow and the depression. And I mean, all of these things that I would have put labels on of as negative or failures in some way or another. And everything was just absolutely perfect the way it was. I mean, it was just this beautiful, like, individuating from source to see the art of life unfolding. And in that sense, I'm relating to what you're sharing. It's like, from that perspective, there wasn't anything that needed to happen or not happen. It was all just the way it was supposed to be. And it really was about that, the witnessing and the experiencing and embodying some aspect of the universe creating. And I guess in that sense, like, having those experiences, and maybe as people are having channeling experiences, they're having some aspect of that kind of come through, that to be able to be with something without attaching to a label to it is moving us into a higher vibration. Just the simple act of being with it and not attaching to it, not labeling it, not thinking of it as good or bad, is going to move us into that state. So
Like, we're becoming aware of our sourceness.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
And I can relate to that. I don't know who I am. Like, I would say it probably started last October, but really amped up this last December, you know, just a few months ago, where I felt like I was shedding all aspects of myself and entered this void where I didn't really know who I was. And I can remember a week where I kind of even felt like I couldn't speak English. Like, my kids would say something to me and I'd be like, sorry, I don't know who I am and I don't speak English right now. Like, you're going to have to go away right now. And it was really uncomfortable, like, because it was so unusual. And I was thinking two thoughts at once: go with it, just go with the flow, and what the hell is happening to me right now? And I was having elation and grief at the same time. Like, I felt sad about letting go of what I was thinking in my head of labeling kind of my 3D self, which I think it's a little bit more complex than that. But and my label has sort of this maybe negative connotation, and I don't want it to be, but this part of myself that I couldn't use anymore, like I needed a new tool set. And so I was really sad about that. And like, what did it mean to let go of that? And I kind of liked those pieces and those tools, and I was good at some of that stuff I was letting go of. So what did it, and then I had to be faced with, the complete unknown and a new level of surrender. And I can't even tell you what happened, but I just kind of popped out in January feeling like a different person. And being able to, I'm not perfect at it for sure, but flow a little bit better, be in the present moment more, be more okay with the unknown and appreciate it more.
It would seem that a lot of folks are having those similar kinds of experiences, letting go of the old, if you will, or what we have been, and then being in a void for a bit and then coming into this new version. So it seems to be a common thing that the groups of folks that I know seems like people are starting or having those at one level or another.
Yeah.
And it can be transformative and scary sometimes.
Definitely.
I feel like I'm connecting to the what you shared about the feeling, the sadness too. Like I've recognized that my thinking about our mortality and transitioning and things like that, I'm not scared of death in the way I used to be, but there is a certain attachment to the being known as Tim, you know. it's like there, I've really, it's taken me a lifetime to get to the point where I really appreciate my experiences and my community and how I feel about myself. That whole self-love thing has been a journey for me. And to get to that point where you're finally like loving it and living it, you don't want to lose it. You don't want to let it go. It's like there is an attachment that exists there. But yeah, it's almost like fear of death for a different reason now. It's like, I just want to be here. Yeah.
Yeah. And recently I stumbled across the information that you aren't really, the things you're grieving aren't really leaving permanently. You're transforming them. And that was a new plot twist for me. I was like, oh, okay, that feels way better. And even if I don't need that tool anymore, it just felt safer, I guess, to think, oh, they're transformed. They're not gone completely. So obviously some attachment to that, but that's part of being a human, right? Is being attached to certain things. I think we have to honor our game we're playing here because we're not going to get it anywhere else. Like, we came here for a reason, to play this game of forgetting and this game of feeling separate and experiencing fear and transforming it into empowerment. Like, that's why we came. And so I think it's okay to feel attached to some things and wrestle with that.
Oh, thank you. So this is a little bit of a random question, but just something that came up earlier, and maybe for you too, Lori, I'm just because it's exploring curiosities, but what would you say is the most challenging part of what you do right now when it comes to channeling, being in spiritual community?
For me, it's, go ahead, Beth.
Go ahead, Lori.
I was saying, for me, a lot of times it's keeping my ego out of the way and not getting caught up in my own little story that I spin about myself and other people around me. So I think that's more and more of a challenge for me lately.
I think for me, I'm now at this place of, so when I popped out in January as this kind of new person, my guides let me know that the message was, we are now one. And I literally now feel like I'm walking around as a collective of beings, for lack of a better term. Like, it's the group of us walking around. And so now, I mean, if I'm going to channel for a while, I go into the channeling state, but I'm now hearing their comments and guidance all the time. Like, there's no separation between just my washing the dishes, brushing my teeth, and channeling. It's all just integrated. And so my new challenge right now is, as I interact with others, doing a few things. I've been receiving messages for people. I got a message for you, Tim, and it's been practice to reach out and tell people, even strangers, things that are meant for them. And sometimes they come at weird times, or I don't know the person. And getting past the awkwardness of delivering these messages, that's been one thing, one challenge. And then the other challenge has been to really sit in the present moment when I'm with other people and listen to the conversation that's going on in the group, as well as my personality's conversation, and then the conversation in front of me, and pull them together. And so it's like channeling, a new kind of channeling called I'm just being me, but I can hear all those other voices. I'm probably somebody's going to come to my house and do an evaluation, psych evaluation on me. But,
Exactly. It's like, huh.
But like, I'll just be in a conversation and I can hear the messages flowing, and I have to sit back and say, is that a message that needs to be shared, or is that just information for me? What about that experience is reflecting back to me? What am I learning from this realization, and what does it mean, and all of that?
So now I'm curious. So during our conversation here today, what have you been saying? What have the guides have been saying about this? That you're operating in all these different levels of consciousness. So what have you been hearing them say about our conversations?
It's quite dynamic. So one thing that's been happening is they've been sharing energy this whole time. They've really showed up to this conversation. So it hasn't just been me. It's a whole group. And by the way, I channel a gigantic group of beings. So it first started with ETs, and then it was a group of it was a core group of ETs. Then it was a group from another universe on top of that group. And then it was a even bigger group that added to that. Then the ascended masters came in, and then archangels came in, and then soul groups also were there at the beginning. You know, they're not on the physical plane. They don't have bodies. They're groups of consciousness. And so I got the whole mix in there. And then I have a guide that braids it into one message. So I sort of, when I'm explaining this, I say, picture a huge crowd, and there's a microphone that can pick up the crowd and send one message. But sometimes an individual will step up to the mic and say something specific, depending on who I'm talking to. And so that's going on. So that whole group has been sharing energy this whole time with you and your listeners. And then I've heard messages of, yes, share that thought. No, don't share that thought. Pause, wait for a minute before you share that thought.
That's a lot.
These concepts are helpful in this conversation. These concepts are not. Yeah, just guidance the whole time.
Wow. And what is that like for you, having all of that going on while you're carrying on a conversation in real time with us or whoever?
It's actually not as crazy as it sounds. It's been a process working into this place, and so it doesn't sound like chaos. And a lot of it is vibrational information, not necessarily coming through my clairs. So it's not noisy, and I've had to practice it. I've had to sort of, just like I've had to practice discerning who's speaking through me. I'm now practicing discerning what's going on in this scenario.
Oh.
But it feels like a privilege, mm-hmm. is my short answer.
Yeah. Nice.
Well, and speaking of which, it's been a privilege to have you here with us today. So, yeah, I guess before we close down, so to speak, is there anything that you'd like to share about how folks can find you or
Yeah, so I have a website and it's on my name if you're looking at this podcast, which is BethWardChanneling.com. So BethWardChanneling.com. And I also have content on YouTube. I've just started to put out things that I've just naturally done that I've recorded. There's story time where the guides will share a story. There's Q&A type sessions that are on there. I think a meditation is going up here in a minute. So lots of things like that.
Yeah.
And I do sessions for people. And I'm also going to be offering a class here in a minute. I haven't put it up yet, but it's called Masters of Play, and it'll be on my website. And it's about the shifting identity that we're all going through. And it's a 4-session series.
Oh, nice. So if people want to look at your website, that'll be listed and then we can sign up for that.
Yep. Okay. And the reason why I call it Masters at Play is because my guides have shared with me so many times, which has been so helpful, that we're all masters playing in this play called our incarnation, that everyone is a true master, regardless of what game you're playing at the moment, which I was often pretending not to be. But it's just a game. And behind that, we are all masters. So I hope it'd be a fun class.
Yeah, sounds great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Beth. And thank you, Lori. And
yes, thank you everyone for being here with us today.
Thank you both, Tim and Lori. It's fun to speak with you. I'll talk to you guys anytime.
Thank you.